So for all of you that are wondering, hey, do you know that it's Friday? Yes, I do know it's Friday, and I know I didn't post anything yesterday, and if I'm going to be honest, I actually had time to do it yesterday, but I was working outside in the beginning of the day, and then more towards the end of the day, I started watching a space movie. Yeah, that happened. It was like an adult version of WALL-E. It was kind of interesting, but as all of my friends know, when I start watching a movie, I get very invested, and from the end of that movie till the rest of the night, I was like, because I put myself in the movie when I'm watching it, and I'm like, what would happen if we couldn't grow crops here on Earth anymore? Clearly, I don't think that is ever going to happen, because that's not what the Bible says, but I don't know, I started thinking about it, and then the end of the day I was here, and I was like, oh man, I didn't do anything for my podcast, so here we are, Friday, doing stuff, so yeah, we're going to be in Acts today, Acts chapter 9, and in my last episode, Malachi 2, the first half of Malachi 2, I said that I would explain on what it's like to be fully sold out for God, or how to get there, to be fully sold out for God, and you know, one of the greatest people who have been sold out for God is in this chapter. This is the conversion of Saul, but there's two people I actually want you to focus on. Now, hopefully this isn't a super long episode. The great thing about it being online is that you can pause it whenever you need to and push play whenever you need to. So don't ever feel like you have to sit through the whole thing. You know, that's ridiculous. It's like 40 minutes now lately because I've been talking on, not unlike what I'm doing right now. It's been a lot like this, but okay. Saul. Wow, somebody's car is super loud. Saul, or Acts. Acts chapter 9. We're going to begin in verse 1. It says, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, if they found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound into Jerusalem." Okay, so Saul was somebody who was threatening the church of Jesus Christ. This is after Jesus has already been into heaven. He was the guy you would call to send somewhere and kill the people who followed Jesus. Because I want you to put yourself back then, if you were not grounded in scriptures, if you didn't know what the Bible said, and if you weren't interpreting it right, you know, it would seem like heresy that, okay, so all of a sudden God came down as man and he says that he saved the world. You know, that doesn't make any sense. For them, it didn't make any sense. So Saul was the guy you would call to persecute, okay? Verse 3, "And as he journeyed, he came near to Damascus, and suddenly there shined a light round about him, a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, who thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said, Arise, go into the city, and it shall be that told thee what thou must do." Okay, so here we go. There's a few points I want to point out. There's like, I think, 4 points that I want to point out here. And first point is, in order to be converted into being fully sold out for God, you have to realize you're not fully sold out for God. You have to realize that you're playing games. And a lot of us are that way. And Paul, you know, he thought what he was doing was right. He was with the church. So Paul would have been justified in his own mind on what he was doing. But when he heard Jesus' voice, he realized what he was doing before was wrong. He realized that he was not fully sold out for God like he probably previously thought he was. So first you have to realize, okay, I am not where God wants me to be. I am kind of just playing games. I'm not doing exactly what God wants. I'm not fully sold out for God. That's the first point. The second point is you have to listen to Jesus. And you have to realize who you are in comparison. Now, this is a lot. You're going to see a lot of the same things when I talked about how to be a good witness for him. There's going to be a few certain similar points, but it's different. Okay? Being a servant for God, being a witness for God, happens after you do this, after you fully surrender your life. So he saw Jesus and he heard him. He saw this great light shining around him. And he fell down to his knees and said, "Lord, who art thou? Who art thou, Lord?" You know, Paul didn't know exactly who he was at first. So you don't have to know exactly who Jesus is in order to realize that he's Lord. Okay, he didn't know exactly who this Jesus was. He didn't know everything about him. What he knew was that God was talking to him. So he's saying, "Hey, who are you?" And maybe some of you lately have felt that in your heart. You're like, "Look, I don't know who you are. I don't know what's going on here, but there's something calling me. Who is it?" And when you ask and when you try to find out who it is that's calling you, Jesus will show himself. He says right here in verse number 4, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus, who thou persecutest." This next phrase was really hard for me to understand for a long time, but if maybe people that are more farmers will know exactly what I'm talking about when you first read it, but I didn't when I first read it. It says, "It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." You know, and what the word pricks there means is, you know when, I don't know if you guys have ever been to 4-H or if you've been on like a cow farm or whatever, they have these little, it looks almost like a spear thing, okay? And what the point to do that, especially in 4-H, when they are showing their beef steers or their dairy cows, whatever, they will use those to poke at the cow's feet to make sure they're standing right, to make sure they're standing the way that they're supposed to be. You know what he's saying here? He's saying, "Hey, it's hard for you to kick against it." I have never seen a cow. Actually, I have one time. I remember this very vividly. I remember the cow just kept kicking against it, and it was hard for him. The guy was poking his foot to do what he was supposed to do, and yet the cow was like, "No, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to keep doing what I want." You know, and it was hard for him. The cow ended up listening because who wants to be poked that many times? You know, Jesus, no doubt, I'm sure, tried to get Paul to do what was right before this. You know, there's no biblical proof of that, but I imagine that before this, Jesus was already kind of working on his heart a little bit. And the only reason why I say that is because he says, "Hey, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks." It seems like it's implied here, at least in my mind. And again, this is not biblical truth, but I want to see maybe if that's right. It seems like Jesus already tried to get through to Paul. And you know what? Maybe Jesus has tried to get through to you. And maybe he's trying to show you who he really is. Maybe you're kicking against the pricks right now. Maybe he's trying to poke you and be like, hey, this is the way you got to go. You know you got to fully surrender to me or your life won't be any better, but you're kicking against it. It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. It hurts. So we have to realize who Jesus is. We have to realize that he's talking to you. And you got to stop kicking against him. You know, and it's interesting because Saul at this time realizes what he was before, that he wasn't fully sold out for God. Second, he realizes who God is, who Jesus is, and that he's trying to talk to him. Right after that, he's in verse number 6, and he said, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" That's interesting, isn't it? Right when he realized who God was and who he was compared to God, he said, "Hey, what are you going to have me to do? What do we need to do now?" He was fully sold out. He was ready to do whatever God said to do. And this is point number 3. And this is the point of actually surrendering your life. It's not this great, you know, transformation. It's not. And we'll see that later. But it wasn't just this complete 180 turn. Okay? You just have to realize, the only thing you have to do is realize who you are. You have to realize that you are not serving God the way that you think you are. You have to realize who Jesus is. And then you have to ask him what to do. And when you are walking with God, Micah 6:8 talks about how all you have to do is humbly walk with your God. That's all he's calling you to do. All he's calling you to do is ask him what to do on everything. On where to switch jobs, on the next relationship in your life, and all these different areas, all of them. How to divide your time right. All he wants you to do is say, God, what will you have me to do? That's it. And when you do that constantly, daily, then you are walking with God. And that's what it means to be fully surrendered to God. But there's one last point. I thought I was going to talk about another person, Ananias, in this chapter, but I'm not going to. I'm going to end on this. There's one more point. And it's interesting. So Paul realized who he was. Saul at this point. I keep saying Paul. Saul realized who he was. Saul realized who Jesus was. He says, hey, what would you have me to do? That signifies that he was ready and he was fully surrendered for God. But verse number 6. We'll finish it off and then we'll read into verse number 7. Arise, go into the city, and I shall be told, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed stood with him were speechless and heard a voice, seeing no man. And Saul, this is a point I want you to listen to. And Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were open, he saw no man. But they led him by his hand and brought him into Damascus. You know, right after Saul surrendered his life to God, he couldn't see anything. He physically couldn't see anything. But I want to do this in a spiritual aspect. Just because you surrender your life to God does not mean you're going to understand it right away. That's why it's called faith. It is a leap of faith to put your trust in Jesus. But when Saul regained his sight, when he went into Damascus, he met Ananias, and Ananias did what God told him to do. When Saul opened his eyes, he saw better than he did before. But you're not going to understand it right away. You're not going to understand everything. You're not going to be able to read the meaty parts in the Bible and understand it. And if you can, hey, that's not because of you. That's because of God. But don't be discouraged. If right when you surrender your life for God, right when you say, God, you see who you are. You see who God is. You see that you weren't living your life right before. And you say, God, I'm ready to sold out. This is the fourth point. You won't understand everything. That's why you abide. You trust in him that he will do it for you, that he will teach you his ways. And that is the amazing thing. So don't be discouraged if you have surrendered your life to God and you don't understand everything. Because Saul was blind for, I believe, 3 days. I can't remember. I could keep reading, but right now we don't have the time. He was blind for a certain amount of time, though. He didn't understand everything, but God still used him. Why? Because God doesn't expect us to know everything. God doesn't expect us to see. All he wants us to do is abide and ask him, walk humbly with him. And when you do that, then your life is fully sold out for God. It's not, like I said before, it doesn't make any sense to expect this great loaf of bread with all of the fruits of the Spirit. Let's compare the fruit of the Spirit to bread. You know, loving, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, all those things. It doesn't make any sense to get there and yet not be sold out for God in the first place. Being sold out for God is not a product of you doing good things. You doing good things is a product of being sold out for God. So sell out for God right where you are, right where you stand. And you might not understand it right away. You might not understand everything, but that's why people take you by the hand and lead you to Damascus. That's why you have good, godly people around you, and you pray to God, and you surrender to him. All you have to do is understand that you don't know everything, that you weren't sold out for God before. God shows himself to you. He breaks you down. God says, hey, God reveals himself to you. Then you surrender your life to him. It's that easy. And a lot of people put it in such a harder way to understand, but it's not. That's the whole point of this message, is to show you it's not complicated to surrender your life to God. All it is abiding in him. I am the vine, ye are the branches, right? The branches can't do anything without the vine. But the vine uses the branches in order to produce whose fruit? His fruit. And if you've talked to my mom at any point, you understand that very, very, very clearly. Because that's like her favorite thing. Sorry, Mom, if you're listening, but it is. It's not a bad thing, obviously. But just abide. You won't understand it all. But once you do this, that's how your life gets changed. That's how you become a witness for him. That's how your life gets so much better. And that's how you raise up. The whole reason why I did this is because in the last episode, I talked about raising up a godly seed. That's how you raise up a godly seed. That's by abiding. So I hope that was an encouragement to you. I hope that that shed a little bit of light on what it actually means to be sold out for God. So, hey, if you have any questions, like always, go find me on Instagram. If you have any questions, DM me, or any concerns or comments or anything. It doesn't matter. You can contact me there. And Monday, we're going to finish off Malachi chapter 2. And, oh, also Sunday afternoon at 1:30. Tomorrow, or Sunday afternoon at 1:30, we're going to have this teen takeover thing. So I don't care what age you are. If I've given you a track, you can come over and you can listen to it. It's on the front of the track. And if you don't have the church address, go ahead and ask me for that. So I will be presenting a little 15-minute message there. But anyway, remember, it's not hard to serve God. All we have to do is realize we can't do it on our own. All right? You guys have a great rest of your day, and God bless.